The FM new news and talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
Good morning, Nevadans. A very fine Saturday, isn't it? I'm John Potter on your all-local Saturday radio call-in show. Anything you want to talk about, the lines are open at 884-9910 and taking calls in the order they come in. From Carson City, we have ace producer Craig Moss. We have a current temperature of 74 degrees in Reno. We've had a flurry of just horrendous traffic incidents over the past couple of days. I don't want to really, bring you down talking about each one of them, but I filled in doing morning news past couple of days and was rather shocked at what goes on early in the morning on the highways. Now we are told that there is an injury crash, a pretty bad one, on U.S. Highway 95 alternate at Wabuska Road. And that happened over an hour ago. Troopers are still at the scene, which tells you how bad it is. So anyway, always tell us what's going on, 884-9910. Also last week, there was some chitter-chatter about Joe Biden and his health again. The reason this time is he popped out to talk to reporters by the Rose Garden, and it was clear that he had an impression on his face, one of those strap marks from when people wear their CPAP machine. So immediately somebody had to ask his spokesperson about it, and surprisingly, she actually answered a question. And it turns out that Joe Biden uses a CPAP machine. He has sleep apnea, like that loud snoring condition. And the president is not alone in this. In fact, a pretty good percentage of the American population, especially people middle-aged or older, use CPAP. It's not uncommon, especially in the beginning of the day, to see people who have those CPAP strap marks on their face still. It's a what it is, it's a positive pressure breathing device. And I am curious about this because my doctor, Dr. Welby and Marcus Dr. Kiley, Dr. Kiley too, his name is Stephen Kiley, and Consuela this is okay. This is one thing I do when I don't want to give real names. When I talk to people, I use old 60s, 70s TV show character names, and people never catch on. Craig does. I don't know how you knew that. I will say a professor told me that's not true. And the person will say, well, who's your professor? And I'll say, Dr. Ludwig von Drake. And they don't catch it. And that's when I don't want to give real names. But anyway, okay, back to CPAP. My doctor told me last year that because of our high elevation in Reno, we don't get enough oxygen when we sleep. And he said that I have sleep apnea. And I've had other doctors, Dr. Casey and Dr. Kildare, who told me that because of Reno's high elevations, no, it's true. We don't get enough oxygen when we sleep. And my wife, for years, has mentioned my snoring. She's a retired doctor, and she wants to, you know what she wants to do? She wants to cut off my uvula. You know, the little thing that hangs down the back of your throat when you open your mouth? That's her solution. She wants to get a scalpel out and cut my uvula off. For real, that is a procedure that some people have done to at least, or they have a laser or something, shorten their uvula because it blocks the air passageway. I will not allow that to happen. Even though a couple of years ago I went to a sleep clinic, and my doctor, Kylie, prescribed a sleep study, and they hooked me up to a bunch of wires, and I was awake all night. And what a pain in the butt this thing was. I didn't sleep at all. I said, I can't have anything on my face. And my doctor mentioned the uvula thing. I think he and my wife are in cahoots on this, but he says, you take that off and it solves the problem. Still not getting my uvula, okay? I'm sure I need it for something. But tonight I'm going to read up on uvulas and maybe I'll be convinced. But has anybody really, what's your experience with an oxygenator or CPAP? I need to know on a personal level. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Red. Red is calling on my, what, the oil topic, Red?
Yeah. So I get into that. The uvula business sounds just as interesting.
Let's change the subject. But okay, for folks who've just joined us, I was talking about my diesel truck and how they said I need Dexcom 2 oil and it cost me $139. Red, tell us what you know.
Well, that oil is 100% synthetic. It's not the out of the ground Pennsylvania honey crude. I'm not an oil engineer or anything, but I lived up in Coldfoot, Alaska, and you couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting an oil engineer. And it is very sophisticated. It is like you referenced 1040 weight, and you obviously know what 1040 is with a variable viscosity.
Mm-hmm.
So how they achieve that in regular motor oil is they have these little microscopic coils, polymer coil springs that contract when they're cold, and then they lengthen when they're hot, and that's what controls your viscosity.
Well, Red, here's the thing. It's a pickup truck. I don't need a really sophisticated European blend oil for it. At least I didn't think so.
So there's a lot of information, API and stuff like that you can get to. And AMSOIL, I think, has an excellent website. But, for the price of the engine that you're running, it is expensive. I got a motorcycle.
That's great. It's great. I'm sure it's a very fine synthetic oil, but it's not an option. The oil change guy says the GMC requires this and had to use it. And if you don't use it, well, then the warranty's gone or something. I don't know. It's kind of a con job, to be honest with you. I appreciate you calling, my friend. Good to know more about that subject. Let's go to Bob calling from Sparks about the... I'm glad you called, Bob. CPAP machine. Tell me what I'm getting wrong here or what you know or what's your experience with it.
I will tell you.
Yeah.
First of all, let me just give you congratulations, John. I'm the one that sent you the DVD on 2,000 Mules, and you were classy enough to send me back a little email just letting know that you got it. I sent another copy to our lieutenant governor, promised him personally that I would. Never heard back from him. But anyway, I wanted to tell you that.
Thank you. I do remember that.
Yes. The other thing on the CPAP is I had one probably 15 years ago for about 4 years. I even went to China and dragged it with me. It was one of these old style things. And then at some point in time, they checked you periodically and found out I didn't need it anymore. But it's not really so much for snoring. It's for the fact that sometimes you stop breathing. And that's what they're concerned about, is because you don't get enough oxygen to the brain and it can be harmful. Snoring kind of goes along with it, but you don't have to have sleep apnea in order to snore or vice versa. So that's the reason that they have you do that.
They did tell me that. They told me that I stopped breathing like over 100 times when they had me wear the, not the sleep study, when they had me wear this thing. I taped to my chest, and they said you stopped breathing 100 times overnight, And what the brain does is the brain takes over and wakes you up so you breathe again. And the fact that you're waking up 100 times and you don't remember waking up, really, but you do wake up and go back to sleep. And what that put together means is you get a lousy night of sleep and you're sluggish and you feel like you have a hangover and such. So you,
yeah, plus it's not healthy either.
Okay. But how's your experience with it, Bob? Does it keep you awake and do you feel better using it?
No, it doesn't. I didn't really notice that I felt better. One thing I will tell you, I had the old style. It's a big clunky thing, probably about this, almost the size of a toaster. And my brother has one. And the new styles are much slimmer and easier and all that kind of stuff. But
okay.
It, for some reason, it just went away, and they gave me the same test again. And it's, you know, they say if you, as long as you don't stop breathing more than 4 or 5 times a night or something, you're okay. But 100 times, that's a lot.
Yeah. I appreciate your calling, Bob. I guess I'm really in trouble. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Brian in Carson City.
Folks, no, let's go to William.
William, okay. William, Brian, hold on. William is calling about my uvula. Hello, William.
Yes, I had mine snipped off. I had a septoplasty. I couldn't breathe through my nose very well, and then got it cleaned out. But the surgeon cut my uvula off, and the main thing I noted was that I'd get like a little bit of saliva toward the back of my mouth, and it had a tendency to just go right down my throat real easily and put me in a severe coughing fit. No fun. Still do to this day.
Oh, I can't imagine not having a uvula, you know?
Well, the reason I didn't like having mine was it was elongated, and I could kind of feel it going down my throat. It's like having a big worm back there.
Well, my wife said cut it off, and I was horrified. But then I found out they can laser like a section of it or something, and so
yeah, they can cut things off and cauterize them at the same time.
All right,
you know,
and you sleep better.
Yeah, hell, I'm 73. I sleep like a 73-year-old should, fitfully.
William, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Now we can go to Brian, Carson City. Folks, what a show. We're talking either CPAP and uvulas or oil. And you're calling about the oil, I assume, right?
I'd like to touch on both of those, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And thank you for bringing me on today. We'll start with the uvula. I've had that same situation. To some degree, sleeping on my back, I usually have to sleep on my side because of that. But that gets rid of that. But I attribute it over years. I'm 65. I'm going to be 66 next week. And I attribute it to weight gain predominantly. All my friends around my age or older or younger all have that same problem. And they all have one thing in common. All the ones are disappointed with that is one thing. They've all overweight, and it's overweight meaning 20, 30, 40 pounds overweight. Now, I'm like a good 20, 25 pounds overweight. And I notice when I go up just 5 pounds, I have problems with it. When I lose weight, I don't have any problem. I can sleep on my back. Everything goes well. And I've had this explained by only one doctor at one time. They say we implode as we get bigger because we don't grow just out. We grow inward. And we envelop our chest cavity, and it impacts other parts of our anatomy to where we don't breathe so well. So if we lose that weight, if we get rid of that weight, or we sleep on the side, on our sides, not on our back at night, we don't have desperation of trying to breathe.
Well, it's very, very hard for me to lose weight, so goodbye uvula, I guess. So do you have a CPAP machine yourself, or did you have the uvula taken out?
Negative. Neither one. I'm working on losing my weight. I'm working on all kinds of stuff.
So about the oil, you own a trucking company. So tell me what the oil situation with my pickup truck. What do you have to say about that?
I have all three types of trucks. I have 18 wheelers. I have large diesel pickup trucks, and then I have my pickup truck. And generally the rule of thumb is if it's a gasoline, is it a gasoline truck that you're talking about? Yeah,
diesel.
Is it gas? Oh, it's diesel. I have a 6.7 Dodge, and they're pretty much all the same in this respect.
Okay.
Whether it's deaf or not deaf doesn't matter. It depends on whether you've been driving it all along without synthetic or just.
The oil change place said that GMC says I have to use a synthetic Dexcon, whatever, to the European blend. And you bring up that DEF fluid, and I don't know what that's for, but one time I decided not to refill it, and the truck was yelling at me with messages that it was going to slow itself down. I have issues with this.
It's going to a limp mode. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Thing is, the rule of thumb is, the thing about that is viscosity. If the truck's been run very long, you're talking about engine oil. If it's been run without synthetic for a period of time, just do your oil changes with regular oil.
No, they won't let me. The GMC requires this synthetic, so that's why it's $139, I guess. I got to run, Brian. I appreciate you calling about the... All right, sir. Take care. We got to do a break here. Our phone number, 884-9910. I'm John Potter. It's all live and local. FM News Talk time is 1123.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk and 991FMTalk.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome back. Our phone number, 884-9910. I'm John Potter. It's all live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon at 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. I am curious about getting an oxygenator or a CPAP machine. I don't even know what the difference is there. I was prescribed by my doctor, Welby, one of those machines. If you use a CPAP, if you were prescribed a CPAP, call and tell us about your experience. Thank you very much. I would prefer a noisy machine as opposed to cutting off my uvula. We're at 884-9910. I mentioned it mainly not just for me, but because as you get older, it may be something that the doctor ultimately says you should get. My doctor says in Reno, our high elevation means that our population here doesn't get enough oxygen at night. Number two, I think it is increasingly common now for people to use a CPAP or oxygenator. Something I saw last week said that over 8 million Americans use a CPAP machine, and that number goes up 9% every year. I am curious how people sleep with them on, because we tried an oxygenator for a month. My wife couldn't stand it. I got the long extension cord. I put the thing in the closet, and she can still hear it. I'm curious how your spouses sleep having them in the bed next to them. I think that there is some slight noise involved with the new models, and you wonder if that keeps people awake or how long it takes to fall asleep. Or can you turn and toss and all that other stuff with these things on your face? Can you sleep on your side? Does the mask get in the way? How long does it leave the marks on your face like it did the president? Does it help you sleep better? Do you get more rest? So if you can answer any of those questions, if you have any insights and can tell me about it, give us a call, 884-9910. I know friends and relatives who use CPAP, but you're always a little uncomfortable asking them, so thank you in advance. Started with the photograph of the president showing that he had the marks on his face. I don't use one presently. My wife doesn't use one, but they're increasingly common and for many people, very beneficial from what I read. So if you have an experience, or have any questions, concerns, things you want to tell people about them, I can't be the only one. What would you recommend to somebody who might be unsure whether or not they want one? How did you know when you needed to get one and what was the adjustment like? And honestly, from what I hear on the phones, the average listener to this show, I mean, of all the calls that this show has had over a year and a half, the average listener to this show seems to be folks in their 40s. And if you look up the stats, the 40s, that's kind of the beginning of the time when many folks get the CPAP, you know. As my doctor told me, how it works is you take a sleep study, then they find some people stop breathing in their sleep for dozens or even 100 times at night for one reason or another. Mainly their airway is obstructed. And when you stop breathing, your brain wakes you up. And you wake up a few times each night, which you don't remember doing, and you end up with bad quality sleep and consequently bad health. It's something you should get checked out. It can be serious from what my doctor, Mr. Kildare, told me. All right, let's go to Mario in Reno calling his experiences. Mario, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in, my friend. What do you have to say about the CPAP?
Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
Good, good.
That's good. So there are two major types of CPAP. There's the obstructive one, which is typically caused by weight, as many people have mentioned. But then there's also the type that I have, which is called central sleep apnea, which is when your brain just shuts off and doesn't tell your body to breathe, which
that
is a really bad one. Yes, that's the sleep apnea that I've had. Oh, weight doesn't make it better because then you get both. But central sleep apnea, I believe, is what Reggie White died from because he wasn't using his CPAP machine. And central sleep apnea can cause you to die in your sleep of a heart attack because your brain doesn't get enough oxygen and everything shuts down and you just die in the middle of the night. Not to make people scared, but it's very rare that that happens, but it can lead to other issues. And my sleep apnea was initially diagnosed when I was in the Navy. And I didn't actually get a CPAP, and that was about 2008 when I first got diagnosed. I didn't get a CPAP machine from the VA until 2017. And at that point, my sleep apnea had got so bad that I was scared to go to sleep. So that's when I finally decided, okay, I need to go take care of this problem that I know that I've had for quite a few years. And when I first got diagnosed, because it was the central sleep apnea where you're brain just shuts off. I wasn't overweight then. Now I am overweight. Losing weight would make it better, but still central sleep apnea has nothing to do with your weight.
Well, are they, is the machine comfortable? Can you sleep with it? Or did it take time getting used to?
My stepfather also has sleep apnea. He got it because he got COPD from a accident where he got a bunch of sand in his lungs. And he struggled with learning how to sleep with it because it's like a face hugger from Aliens, right? And it's just on your mouth or in your nose, and people can't adjust to the air being forced because CPAP is continuous air pressure. Off the top of my head, I don't know what the acronym is.
It blows air just right into your mouth, doesn't it?
Well, mine blows into my nose because I don't have an issue with opening my mouth at night. And as the smaller face mask just covers my nose area. So my
mouth.
What's
the difference in your well-being since using it? How do you feel?
I actually sleep at night. There was almost a year and a half where I was getting less than 2 or 3 hours of sleep a night.
So you wake up feeling better, obviously, then, huh?
Yeah, wake up feeling better. I initially did lose some weight because you're sleeping better.
Okay.
If tomorrow I woke up and a doctor told me I don't have sleep apnea anymore, I would continue to use the machine.
Thank you, Mario. I appreciate that.
I like it.
Positive review there. Thanks, Mario.
Yeah, it's great. Everybody who has sleep apnea or thinks they might should go get diagnosed and get a prescription for it.
Thank you, my friend. We got a break for Fox News. I'm John Potter. Phone number 884-9910. Albert, Carson City, hang in there. We'll get to you right after this break on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time is 1134.
On an Android, get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Hello, friends. John Potter here, live and local. Oh, my gosh, already 20 minutes left to go. Phone number 884-9910. And thank you for all the calls about my questions about the CPAP machine, which my doctor, Mr. Welby, recommended to me. I also heard, and by the way, all the calls about this have been very positive about their experience with the CPAP machine. They're saying, John, go for it. Don't let your wife cut off your uvula. If you just joined us, I'm not going to get into that. But I also heard that besides all the positive phone calls, I've also heard from people, because I've been asking around, I've also heard the CPAP machine does not agree with some people that I talk to at all. They say it's very uncomfortable. The cords will cross your face. They can't sleep. They get less sleep with it. But there is a solution to that. Somebody I know got this new thing. It's called Inspire. And it's like they put this little CPAP machine into your body. And it's inside your body. And it controls how you it solves it. The person I talked to just swears by it. But, oh, my gosh, putting something in my chest. Take my uvula instead. In the studio, we have the local Dress for Success founder and CEO. It's Patty Weiske. Patty and a network of 70 volunteers here in Reno, right, Patty?
That's right.
That's right.
Right.
You and 70 volunteers work around the clock to help women look and feel their best when they apply for jobs and throughout their careers. Listen, clothes are expensive, especially to people who have been unemployed and who go for job interviews. Where do you get the clothes? Do stores donate to you, or?
Well, sometimes stores will be going out of business. It will be the end of season, and they will donate their clothes, brand new clothes, to us. But the majority of our donations come from hundreds of women throughout Northern Nevada who they've donated clothing to us since
and
we started.
And a lot of women barely wear their clothes. I'm talking to you, Kathy.
That's so true. I'm guilty of it. But, you know, especially with women buying online more and more and sometimes not being able to return those items, mm-hmm. we get some fabulous items. Yeah, for all of our clients.
How did you get involved with running this Dress for Success? Do you have a personal connection? Was there somebody that is close to you who really had a problem outfitting themselves for a job interview?
Well, I do have a personal story about that. And it was during the Great Recession when I couldn't find work myself. And I have been in public relations in the community since I got out of college.
You got to look good as a public relations person. I guess that's a rule.
So I, you know, I was thankful to go to work in a retail store with a lot of other women who were making $10 an hour. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're grateful for a job, and it was a full-time position, but it was $10 an hour. And a lot of the women I worked with were single parents, really.
Well, here's the alternate idea for you. Radio. Look at me. Craig, too. We dress like slobs.
I want to talk to you about that.
But you said $10 an hour. That's, my God, way beyond what we get.
Yeah. John, we'll talk about what you're wearing today a little later. How's that? You can come to Dress for Success. We'll style you.
All right. What do you think of these? What do you think of that?
Beautiful. The colors match.
Get your mind out of the gutter. I'm showing her I lifted my leg here. I'm wearing shorts. I have, these are Einstein socks. It has the picture of Albert Einstein, who's one of my heroes. You see him right there? Or is that Jefferson? That could be my Jefferson socks.
I think that's Jefferson, yeah.
That's my president, Jefferson, and my beach shoes, which are spotlessly white and clean, but...
they are pretty clean.
There you go.
Yeah.
So anyway, off topic. I'm sorry.
No, no. That's, we always talk about clothes.
Do you have a shop where all these clothes are, where people can peruse and find something they need?
We do. We actually have both a boutique for our clients that can come in and we style them. We show them how to dress for the interview they're going on. We give them clothing for an interview. And then when they get a job, we give them up to 5 days worth of clothes to start their job. And that could be in any industry. We do our best. We're always looking for a donation of scrubs. We're looking for always donations of clothing you can wear in construction if you're going into warehousing, because people typically think of Dress for Success as the place where you bring a suit or a structured piece of clothing, which we do need for interviews, but we also need all those other items that you would use in all different industries.
Why just women?
Well, the brand Dress for Success is, the mission is women, is for women. This is a global brand that I was very impressed with when I researched during the Great Recession, because I wanted to start a nonprofit that was all centered around clothing. And because of the huge global network with Dress for Success, I decided, let me research, talk to the state of Nevada, see if they want it in Northern Nevada. And it actually started in Vegas during the Great Recession. And the state said, I want this program to go all the way to the north. And that's why I brought this to the north. But am I interested in helping men as well? Absolutely. There's a huge void in our community of helping both, you know, of helping men. So,
well, let me put in a vote for donating, because I have tons of clothes from the TV days. You try to sell them, forget it. Nobody will, when you put your clothes out like at a garage sale, it's literally pennies on the dollar. For some reason, clothes are not valued at all. So that's the route to take when you have these clothes that you can't wear anymore. Now, we're going to talk about how you ladies can donate to Dress for Success and this upcoming Recycle the Runway event, which we're going to talk to next. Patty Wieske here with Dress for Success. So back for our final segment, and you can, of course, take part and find out more. 884-9910 is our number. We'll be right back. FM News Talk time is 11:47.
Is FM Talk.
There is Victoria's Secret gave you thousands of bras?
Yes, definitely, yeah.
Now you got our attention, guys. This is Patty Wieske, who is the head of the local Dress for Success. It's a nationwide global thing. And Reno has a Dress for Success location. They hold events and everything like that. They outfit women for their careers and for their jobs. And we're talking like scrubs for medical workers and other. Is it hard to keep up with the styles? When I think of women's clothing, I think of how, you know, styles change all the time. But I guess in the workday world, they're still the same, aren't they?
Well, yeah. And the thing about styles and fashion now is that women are constantly changing their wardrobes. I mean, who wants to wear the same thing on Instagram, right? So,
oh, yeah. Okay.
It's a revolving door of always trying to find new outfits.
I think it was very unfair when I was at working TV news that guys, all they had to do was change their ties. So it's always the light shirt with the dark suit jacket. But all we had to do was change ties. The ladies had to get full different outfits. And so I can understand now the reason for dress for success. They need more than one outfit to go to work every day if they work in an office, especially.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why we get so many fabulous donations. And
it's free to the people who need them?
It's free. We work on a referral basis only. We have partners that refer women over to us, partners that are in the workforce development arena. Mm-hmm. And they refer women over that need clothing for the job interview. Sometimes women are referred over that already have a job. We're always looking for women who are underemployed. Those are women that can certainly make more money than they're making. Obviously, you know, I was inspired with my job on that. But
you know,
we're trying to find people and help them develop their career so they can make more money.
I'm not a boss, but I know that what you wear counts a long way toward whether or not they move you up, they promote you, or what they pay you. I think clothes have a lot of power for both sexes in that respect.
Well, especially for women.
Yes.
And, you know, we always advise our women to, dress the part. Dress
yes.
for whatever position you want to have.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And yet we have these guys. I'm not going to talk about women because I don't think it's really a problem with women. But, boy, some of these guys dress like slobs now. This, what have my dad... is rolling over in his grave over this. I go downtown for breakfast. I see guys bringing their girl, checking in the hotel room. And when I go to breakfast downtown in a casino, some people wear pajama bottoms. And when they're checking in with their girlfriend, they're wearing the T-shirts with holes in them and things. They go to showrooms to see shows dressed like what I'm wearing now. It's outrageous. That's a man problem.
Well, yes, but I see things change. Things have changed a lot now that we've gotten over the COVID, all of that, and the excuses.
Oh, I don't know if you can blame it on COVID.
All the excuses of why you don't need to dress up. People are excited to dress up. At least women are.
I love dressing up. I do.
You didn't dress up for me today.
Well, it's radio. Okay, so this event, it's called Recycle the Runway. Recycle the Runway? What do you do with this?
Well, first of all, we are really so happy and grateful to all of our clothing donors because it's really the clothing donors that got us started, you know, providing what we needed to give to everybody.
Well, yeah, Victoria's Secret, thousands of bras.
Yeah, but all the women that have donated their clothes, it's really interesting. I mean, I could probably write a whole book about clothing donors because we get attached to our clothing because we associate it maybe with a career we've had.
Sure.
And it's kind of like the shedding of the career. It's the last step.
Ah.
You're donating off those clothes. So a lot of times it's emotional for women when they're giving us their items.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to say thank you very much to all of our clothing donors. This Recycle the Runway is thank you to our clothing donors. But it's also sometimes we do get things that we just cannot use, and our partners won't use it either.
So how is it fun for the people who attend?
Well, what's going to be fun is that we have local designers of all types of talents
mm-hmm.
putting together outfits from clothing that has been donated to us. So they have to tear apart all that clothing, come up with something new. It's going to be specific to industries, and it's a gourmet dinner.
Oh, now you're talking.
Well,
and we have models on the runway, too.
Models on the runway.
All right, folks, this is Friday, September 29th at 6 o'clock at the Generator. That's a place on Audi Boulevard. And are you selling tickets now?
We're selling tickets now. And who doesn't want to meet Aunt Viv from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? She's our mistress of ceremonies. So she should be a lot of fun. She's a designer herself.
Get your tickets at reno.dressforsuccess.org.
Yeah, exactly. Go right to our website. You'll see it right there, and you can buy tickets, table, whatever, and the generator, you know, they're going to have artists demonstrating what they do, so it'll be fun.
And in the meantime, if you have some really nice new-looking clothes, or if you need clothes for that new job, you contact reno.dressforsuccess.org.
Can I also just say also, John, that I started a designer thrift store when we had to move out of our original location because we had to figure out how to pay our rent during the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. This new rent. And so we have a designer thrift store. Right now we're open Wednesday, Thursday afternoons, and all day Friday and Saturday because we do take evening wear. We take all that fashion stuff that we can... women are donating that to us so that we can raise money for Dress for Success.
And you have that address on your website, too.
Exactly.
Patty, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, John. It's been fun.
Yes, I love talking women's clothes. Kidding. No, I enjoyed being with you. Thank you, dear. Okay, we reached the end. As I said, this show has defined itself over the past year and a half as a place to have fun and say interesting things, and some people like Patty are very good at it. But it's whatever you want it to be. If you got a candidate you love, if you have a principle you believe in, if you got a yard sale you're hawking, this is 50,000 watts for you. Maybe 30 or 40,000 of your neighbors are listening in. So we'll all get together again next Saturday. Craig in Carson City, thank you for doing a great job. I'm John Potter. Once again, I've run out of stuff. So thanks for tuning in. We're going to break for Fox News right now. I'll talk to you again next Saturday morning.